God, that you would hide me. God, let it be all of you, less of me. God, touch me and touch your people with this word in Jesus' name. Let everybody say amen. Do me a favor and just grab your Bibles and repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I will be what it says I will be. Today I will be taught the word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, Pastor Andre, preach this word. Come on, put your hands together and give God some praise. Amen. I'm just going to get right into the word of God. Last week, we talked about God's pain. We've been in a series called God's Plan. So we had God's Plan Part 1 and God's Plan Part 2. And last week was God's pain. And so the first point we had was our stubborn will causes God pain. Point number 2 was our unbelief causes God pain. And point number 3 was our love of man's opinion over God's approval causes God's pain. And so you can always get the CD to catch up and understand what that was about. So the whole premise of that was that we can cause God's pain. So today is going to be called God's Pain Part 2. And so the first time we talked about how we could be causing God's pain, but we're switching it today and we're talking about how God's pain can be seen through the cross. And so that's why we switched it. That's why you will see the red and it looks like blood flowing. And that's purposefully because we have to understand somebody paid a high price. And if you understand it this way, you would understand that God's plan required God's pain, his own personal pain. Let's put the first verse up, and Sister Mitchell is going to read for us from Hebrews 6 and 4.
It is impossible for those who have been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit.
Read some more.
Who have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the coming age.
And the next verse.
And who have fallen away to be brought back to repentance. To their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace.
When we saw the young kids, when we seen them showing how Jesus walked to the cross, and we seen the crown of thorns on his head, and what we didn't show, because you wouldn't be able to handle it, we didn't show him being beaten unrecognizable. We didn't show that his body looked like torn up flesh. It actually looked like hamburger meat by the time he got to where he was. Because what they did, they would whip them and they would beat them, whoever's being executed. They would beat with a cat of nine tails, and on each one of the tails they would put something, sharp objects. That way when they hit and pulled, they would pull flesh. And what this scripture says is we got to be careful that we don't crucify him afresh with our actions. He's already gone to the cross, and we already understand that. But what we want to know is every single day, do you do things that crucify him and tear him apart? When he says go right, you keep going left. So we don't want to do that because he's already done enough. He's already hurt enough. He's already been beat enough. He's already been broken enough. He's already bled enough. Why would you add anything to his pain? Put this up. God's pain was greatest on God's cross. And I know this is supposed to be a happy day, but I've got to take a little time and continue to talk about what the cross meant and how it felt. And there's no movie that can describe it the way it really was. You can't understand it. We've got a little cute things. We even put it tattooed on us, but you don't understand the pain that was involved. You don't understand the humiliation, the brutalness that he went through. And his pain was greatest on his own cross. Beat in his hands so that the nail could go through. Pierced in his side so deep that it touched the heart. And blood and water rushed out, beat in his feet until the nails crushed through the bone. Crown of thorns on his head, and they were poisonous thorns so that the poison would go into his skull and be released in his body, and he would itch all over his body, but he couldn't scratch it because he was hanging there. It wasn't a pretty sight. It wasn't a beautiful thing. His pain was greatest on his cross. And it was hard. And it was rough. And it was excruciating. And it was nagging. And whatever you've been through, it was worse than that. Every time he sweat, the salt from the sweat would go in open wounds and just sting him all over. And he's itching, and he hasn't eaten in days, and he's been beat, and he's been bruised, and he's been whipped, and he's been bleeding out all over. His pain was greatest on his cross. Wasn't pretty. Wasn't happy. It wasn't cute. It was designed to be execution. And he wasn't the only one to be crucified. They tell us that Romans, they crucified people. So he wasn't the only one. But because of the uproar of who he was, and because of what he did, and because people called him king, they made a public show of him. How they treated other criminals, they treated him worse. Because they wanted to make a show that there's nobody greater than the Roman Empire. So this Jesus was torn apart, beat, and bruised by people he helped create. Put the verse up, or the next point. But God's pain served God's purpose. His pain was greatest on the cross, but his pain served a purpose. And I've got to pause and just take a quick rabbit trail. And sometimes we ask ourselves, why am I going through this? Yeah, you can talk to me about Jesus on the cross, but I don't know nothing about that. I know I'm struggling. I know I don't know how to make ends meet. I know I'm depressed and I'm sick. But I'm here to let you know, if the pain of the cross brought purpose, the pain in your life will bring purpose too. There's no pain that God can't heal. There's no pain that God can step in and fix. But pain serves a purpose. Quick example, another quick rabbit trail. Tony Dungy, who used to be the coach of the Colts, the Indianapolis Colts, he had one child. And this child was born with the inability to feel pain. And since they were born with the inability to feel pain, they realized that they had this disease. And it sounded like, and Tony said, it sounded like it would be good because my child would never feel pain. But he found out how rough it was because he couldn't tell the child, don't touch the hot stove, because the child didn't understand pain. And so they would put their hand on the hot stove and damage their body, because pain serves a purpose. Pain lets you know, don't go down that road again. The reason why you don't want to get married real quick, because you know the pain of the last divorce. Pain hurts, but pain serves a purpose. Pain reminds you something. I'll put it to you like this. My mama used to say, you don't believe fat meat is greasy. I didn't know what she was talking about. I didn't know what that meant. But when she put the Board of Education on the seat of knowledge, the pain that went to my head helped me understand what she was talking about. None of us like pain, but pain serves a purpose. Now, why am I my unusual self this morning, even though it's Easter Sunday? Because one of our members tragically was pulled out of here, named Tristan Twilley. And it hurts. And it stings. I want to see him back there with his big smile. And I can't see him. And it hurts. But pain serves a purpose. I don't know what the purpose is, but if you ever can find out the purpose in pain, there's no devil in hell that can stop you when you can look at pain and say, I'll find the purpose in it. I'll go through it. I'll live through it. And just like the sun, one day I'll resurrect again. Pain has a purpose. Would you put up the verse, Isaiah?
But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed.
So every hit and every lick was for our own good. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace were the wounds in his body. So what he went through had a purpose, and the purpose was you and I. Because there's not a perfect person in this place, including the person that has the microphone. And if you're perfect, what I want you to do is go ahead and stand up if you're perfect. Let me sit down too. Because there's not a perfect one of us here. But God knew we were an imperfect people. And he said, what I can do, I can send you my perfect son. And everything you should get, I can put it on him. And the reason why us with our imperfect self can sit up in the church and say amen and hallelujah and clap our hands, because somebody took the pain that we should have. And I'll never stop saying thank you, Jesus. And I'll never stop saying hallelujah. And I'll never stop saying glory to God, because the pain and the price that he paid was too great for me to act cute in church. I'm going to act like God has given me the glory. I'm going to act like God has turned things around. I'm going to act like I understand all the purpose in all the pain. I don't understand it all, but I'm going to walk like it. One thing the devil not going to catch me sweating and looking like I don't know how I'm going to make it, even when I don't know how I'm going to make it. Because my Savior, if he could walk to the cross, if he can hang on the cross, I can go through what I'm going through and lift up my head and say hallelujah anyhow. Never let life problems get you down. When life problems come your way, lift your head to God and say hallelujah anyhow. I ain't quitting. I'm not scared. I'm not tired. Yes, it hurts, but devil, you're going to keep having to fight me, because I ain't quitting. I'm not mad. I'm not scared. And if you're going to bring it on, because I'm ready to fight. I didn't go through all this pain to turn into a wimp now. I didn't go through all this hell to turn into town now. I'm ready to do what God called me to do. Because he went through too much pain for me to be weak. He went through too much pain for me to be high every single day. One of these days I'm not going to get high. One of these days I'm just going to get up and pray. Not because I'm all so super spiritual. Not because I'm all so holy. But his pain was too great for me to try to medicate my pain every day of my life. I'm going to be sober today. I'm going to have a different day today. I'm going to act better today. Because he went through too much for me to stay the same. Next verse.
No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began.
Read some more.
None of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Wait a second. The pain served a purpose, But it says that none of the rulers of this age understood what they were doing. Because if they knew what they were doing, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory next.
But as it is written, I have not seen,
nor
ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him.
Here's the key, saints. Here's the key, friends. Here's the key, visitors. I have not even seen what you're going to become. Ear hasn't even heard what's getting ready to happen in your life. And if the devil knew that what he did on the cross was going to make a difference in your life, he never would have crucified the Lord of glory. But what the scripture says, God has prepared for the ones that love him. Now let me let you know something. We think that some people love God on better than others. In other words, I know the bishop loves God better than I do. I know the pastor loves God better than I do. But the Bible didn't say about loving better. It just says love. Many of us love him in our own way. We may not be as cute and as perfect as the church folk, but we love God in our own way. And what God says, that God has something prepared for everybody that loves him. And what I want you to know, if you love him just a little bit, God got something prepared for you. If you are getting high every day, but there's something down in you that still loves God, God's got something prepared for you. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be sinless. But because of what was done on the cross, God's got something prepared for you. You ought to tell your neighbor, I don't know what it is, but God's got something for me. What God has for me, it is for me. I don't know what it is, don't know what it looks like, but I'm not going to die without getting what God has for me, because he went to the cross for everybody. But guess what? He went to the cross for me. For me. Put this up. God's pain was God's best play. Here, how can I explain it? Let me try to get real theological real quick. I'm not going to keep you all day. Let me try to get real theological just real quick. So we know in scripture that there was a time where Satan thought he could take God. And the Bible says he said in his heart, I will ascend above the throne of God. He didn't even get a chance to act on it. He just said it in his heart and he got kicked out of heaven. Next thing you know, he waking up on the ground. It didn't work out like he thought it was going to work out. And he had convinced some dumb angels to go with him, and they all got kicked out. And so later on, the Bible says that God created the world and recreated the world, and then he put man in the world. And the Bible says he breathed in man the breath of life. And he says he created man in God's image. And so Satan knew he couldn't take God. But Satan waited to attack man because man looked like God. And so Satan was scared. But the more he was around the earth, he realized he looked like God, but he ain't God. He looked like God because God would come down and talk to man. And then God would leave. And Satan realized he looked like God. He ain't God. It's the difference between God and man. Even though he looked like God, he ain't God. Because when I thought about God, I got kicked out of heaven. I've been thinking about these people and ain't nothing happened to me yet. They look like God, but they ain't God. So he said, I'm going to try to ease in and see if I can trick them. I don't know how long he worked on the plan. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But we do know that he deceived them. And what he understood, they look like God, but they ain't God. And so he tricked them. But fast forward, I said God's pain was God's best play. Because
When Satan saw Adam and Eve, he said, they look like God, but they're just man. They're not God. I can get there. So later on, he sees Jesus. And he's looking at Jesus, but Jesus looked like man. Adam and Eve looked like God, but they was just man. Jesus looked like man, so Satan said, I can get him too. He ain't no different than Adam, but here's the thing. The reason why God's pain was God's best play, because even though he looked like man, he was God. Adam looked like God, but he was man. Jesus looked like man, but he was God. And so he tried to get Jesus and put him on the cross, because since he's man, I can take him out. I can kill him. But when he put him on the cross, he found out that ain't man. That was God. I ain't got time to really work it like I want to work it. So let's just read some scriptures. Let's just read some scriptures. Put it up there.
Above his head, they placed the written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.
Continue to read.
Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left.
Satan was really, he was really cutting up. He was really acting up. He said, "Hey, put King of Jews up on there. Put him beside two south side rebels." And that's not what I meant to say. Put him beside two rebels. Read.
Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads.
They hurled insults at him, and they shook their head, because hanging on the cross, he looked like man. Read.
And saying, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God.
You're so bad. Come on down. I got to take just another little rabbit trail. Have you ever been in trouble, and that's when folk won't talk once you get in trouble? When you're doing good, they all in your face smiling, but when you go through something rough, then the next thing you know, they talking about you and subtweeting and putting subliminal messages on Facebook. That's what they were doing to Jesus. You so bad, come down, but they was influenced by Satan. Read.
In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him.
They mocked him. Read.
He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself.
He gotta be just man, because he saved others. He can't do nothing for himself.
He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him.
He said, you're so bad. I don't care how many folk you raise from the dead. I don't care how many blinded eyes you open. I don't care how many folk you heal. I'm not going to believe until you come off the cross. Talked about him bad. Read.
He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God.
He was talking big jump. He said he was the Son of God, but he looked like man. And so I ain't going to believe him. Read some more.
And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit.
This is in Matthew. John says it this way. He said, it is finished. He dying, but he talking about working. And he said, it is finished. What are you finishing? You hanging up there. You can't move. Folk is saying, come on off of there. And he says, it is finished. Let's read some more.
At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook. The rocks split.
Let me change it. Basically, when he said it is finished, he said, I'm stepping out of this man costume I've been in.
Yes.
I've been walking as a man so I can fix some stuff up. But y'all must got me twisted. Y'all don't know who I really am. When it's finished, I can step out of this costume I've been playing in, and I'm going to come out. And when he stepped out of that, the Bible says the earth realized that wasn't man, that was God. The veil ripped. The earth began to shake. And the rocks began to split. Read some more.
And the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life.
There were folk laying in their graves. But when he said, I'm not man, and stepped out of man, back into God, folks started waking up, coming up out of the ground. Don't even know how they got up, because he was not man, he was God. And when he stepped in his Godship, and when he stepped in his Godhood, everything around began to move. Read some more.
They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people.
Folk come out the ground and say, I know you had a funeral for me. I don't know what happened, but baby, I'm back. Something happened. And I have a sneaky suspicion that it just might be that the Son of God has showed up and stepped in the earth. Read some more.
When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed.
Hold on, time out real quick. These were executioners. And so they were trained in killing folk. And they knew how to kill folk so that everybody know they dead, real dead, good and dead. And so they know not only did we kill him, we beat him bad. We roughed him up. There's no way anybody can survive from this. But when they saw the earth do what it did, because they had killed thousands of men, and all the men they killed, the earth never shook. And all the men they killed, the rocks never split. And all the men they killed, nobody ever got up out of the ground. And they said to themselves, we killed what we thought was a man. But read what it said.
And exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God.
When I hit him, he responded like a man. When I slapped him, he responded like a man. When I spit on him, he looked like a man. But the moment he died, that could not have been a man. That had to be God. Something about the way he died, because he stepped out of man and said, I'm God. Read.
After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb.
They was coming to check on their dead friend Jesus. Read some more.
There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it.
Whew! There was another earthquake. And after he got off the cross, I don't have time to preach it, but he went down into hell. And when he went down into hell, he was letting Satan know, you thought I was man, but you're about to find out I'm God. And he started doing stuff. And so when Mary came to go and find out who he was and find out where he was and how he was doing, I know he's dead, but I just want to check on him. But when they got to the tomb, there was an angel that came down and rolled the stone away. Read.
The angel said to the woman, do not be afraid.
Hold on. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. I know you're hurting, but don't be scared. I know you're crying, but don't be scared, because he wasn't a man. He was gone. Read some more.
Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified.
I'm not going to lie to you. He was crucified. It wasn't a figment of your imagination. I know you're coming to find the man that was killed, because I know you loved him, but I got something to tell you. Read.
He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay.
He ain't here. I know you saw him die. I know you know they put him in the tomb. But I got to let you know he's not here, because he was not man. He was God. You don't believe me? Come check it out. See where he used to be. because he ain't where he used to be. And I got to stop and tell somebody, there's some dead stuff in your life that you don't think will ever turn around. And I'm here to let you know he's not man, he's God. And when he get good and ready, he'll resurrect everything in your life, because he was not man, he was God. Some of y'all need to come tell your friends, see where my addiction used to lay. See where my depression used to lay. See where my confusion used to lay. I know I had it. You know I had it. But it's not here. It's gone. Because I don't serve a man. I serve a God. A God that died and rose again. And it only took him 3 days to do what he did. And here's my problem. I want to talk about him getting up every single Sunday. I can't wait to Easter to talk about him getting up. I might talk about him getting up on a Thursday, because I know how good God has been to me. Sometimes I preach to myself, by myself, because I thank God he was not a man. He was God. All right. Read.
Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead.
I know y'all don't believe this, but some other folk believe this. They believe women can't preach the gospel. But the very first person that was assigned to go tell that he lived was a woman. So woman, let me let you know, don't let anybody silence your voice. Don't let anybody shut your mouth, because ain't nothing like a woman telling folk he is not man, he is God. Tell somebody, he's God in my life. He's God in my money. He's God in my marriage. He's God in my children. He's God in my city. He's God in the pot roast I'm cooking. He's God. He's God. Tell somebody he's God. He's Jehovah. He lives. He rules. He reigns. There's nobody like him. You can't stop him. He's not man. He's God. But it took him dying for folk to know who he really was. Because other people had performed miracles. Other people had prophesied. But nobody had died and came back. Let's go to what Revelation says. In his own words. Now this is Jesus talking about himself. I'm telling you what everybody else says. I'm telling you what I said. But let's hear what Jesus said at the end of the book, the first chapter at the last book of the Bible. What does he say?
I am the living one. I was dead.
He said, I was dead. I ain't gonna lie to you. I was dead. It wasn't a magical trick. It wasn't a show. I was dead, but I am the living one. God has never been the God of I was. He's always been the God of I am. He told Moses, tell Pharaoh, I am. Not I was, but I am. He said, I was dead, but I am the living one. Now, he didn't start off with I was dead. He started off with I am the living one. Read.
I was dead.
Go back to Revelation. Yes.
And now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades.
Woo, hold on. See, when you read the story about him dying and how he got beat, what we don't see is what happened in hell. We don't know that part, but all we know is in the end, he says, I am living. I was dead. I'm alive forever and ever 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 and ever. I'm alive. But then he said, oh, by the way, I got the keys of death and hell. Let me go back to what I said earlier. I'm just a man. So I can't make sense of Tristan's death, because I'm just a man. I can't say where he went when he died, because I'm just a man. But my Savior says he holds the keys of death and Hades. So here's the thing. If I want to lock you out of my house, I can. Because I got the keys. And if I don't want you in, I can keep you out because I got the keys. And since Jesus owns the key of death and hell, if he don't want you in hell, he got the power of keeping you out of hell. And even if you die before your time, he has the key to death and hell. So just let me say it to you this way. Rest in heaven, Tristan. Rest in heaven. I don't have the power to put him there, but I know the one who got the keys. And since he got the keys, he can do whatever he wants, because he's not man, he's God. Guess what? Ain't nary one of y'all in here got to go to hell, because you serve a God, and you can serve a God if you don't serve the God who has the keys of death and hell. How did he get the keys? I don't know. I can't tell you how he get the keys, but let me tell you how I think it might look. I think when he was on the cross dying, they was down there partying. Somebody said, get the gin and the juice. Somebody said, I want the Hennessy, the Tanqueray, the Heron, bring in the girls, because our greatest nemesis is gone. I don't know what DJ they brought in. I hope it wasn't DJ Goldie, but I don't know what DJ they brought to the party, but they was partying, because after all, that man was dead. And I don't know what happened, but if you ever been in a party and you hear the record skip a beat, I believe that they heard. Somebody check the sound system in hell. We got some feedback. I don't know what that sound is. It was Jesus coming down from the cross, coming down through 42 generations, coming down with all power in his hand. And what he said, you thought I was man, but baby, I'm not man. I'm God. And I'm here to snatch the keys of death and hell. I'm here to turn this thing all the way up. I'm here to do the Cupid shuffle and knock everybody out of here. Because I'm not man, I'm God. And every demon and every devil and every dog and every bastard and every messed up spirit had to see, oh, we made a mistake. We made, he ain't who we thought he was. That's what he said in his word. He said, I got the keys. And this is what it's our job in this church, to show people you got a chance. Because when you walk in the doors, you ain't supposed to just see me and the purple lights and the screens and the pulpit and the instruments and JB and everybody else. You're supposed to see the cross. And it's high and lifted up. Because he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And if you want to be drawn, he's there for you. But pastor, you don't understand what I got going on in my life. I'm here to let you know, if you want God, God wants you. If you want to change, God is there for you. If you want a difference, God is still there for you. Because the cross says, I'm not man, I'm God. You can't do it by yourself, but the cross says there's somebody that can do it. Last thing we're going to say, put this up like this. God's plan made Satan God's punk. I don't know, y'all don't like to hear them kind of words in church, but let me just say it the way I see it. He got punked out. Back when I was young, there used to be something called MTV Punk, where a man named Ashton Kutcher would pray practical jokes on people and do things, and folk was in the middle of it, and he'd run out and say, you've been punked. Maybe it wasn't the party that I said it was in hell. Maybe Jesus just popped in there and said, you got punked, and walked back out. Because God's plan showed that there's nobody on his level. If I say salt, you say what? If I say peanut butter, you say what? If I say black, you say what? But if I say God, don't you dare say devil. Because he ain't never been on his level. He has no equal. He has no rival. There ain't nobody like God. And the devil didn't understand that. So Jesus had to pop in and say, you been punked. Last scripture. And then we're going to go home.
And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it.
Scripture said he made a public show of them. Openly, he dogged them out real good. Let me go back to my mama just for a second. Now let me get off my mama. Let me get on my daddy just for a second. As I closed one day, I was in Whiteley. And I was on my yard, and there was a girl that I won't talk to, and she was off my yard, so I came off my yard to talk to her. Not only did I come off my yard, but I had been doing some push-ups, and I was feeling myself. I had took my shirt off. Off my yard, just walking down Whiteley, like I didn't have nowhere I needed to be. My dad showed up and made a public display of me. He took my bare chest and smacked me on my bare chest and on my bare back. He said, I know you out here think you're cute, but get back in the yard where you're supposed to be. Guess what? I felt that big. Because he didn't do it privately, he did it publicly. Well, I want you to know the devil acts like he's tough, but he feels this small because what happened to him, it wasn't hidden. It was a public, open whooping. And this day is to declare that when they fought him, they had him. 3 days later, he got up with all power in his hand. And since Satan is the punk, now you only have one choice but to put your foot on the devil. Somebody stomp and say, he's under my feet. He's under my feet. I wore some camo shoes, so you know I'm in war. I'm stepping on the devil's head. Stomp again and say, he's under my feet. Jesus was under Satan's feet, and then he rose again. And he gives us the power to put Satan under our feet through his pain. And sometimes you go through pain too. But when you come out of it, when you resurrect, when you get up, when you bounce back, all you got to do is say, he's under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. You know why? Because he never was man. He was God. Let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we praise you. We honor you and we love you. For not Easter, but for Resurrection Sunday. Forget an egg and a bunny. I'm looking at a Savior. And there's nobody here under the sound of my voice that has to taste a moment of hell because they're hearing my voice. And you've anointed me to touch hearts with my voice. And if they would just yield in this moment, on this morning, and say, I want this God in my life. I'm not going to try to give up anything. I'm not going to try to stop anything. I'm just going to accept that if he's God, he can help me put everything under my feet. And everything that needs to be resurrected, he can resurrect it. I'm going to stop working, and I'm going to let God do it. And if you're here, just right where you are, just say, do it for me, God. Do it for me, God. And you'll find out he's not man. He's God. Let's open our eyes and let's stand to our feet. We will stand.